You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion, analysis of every single Premier League match week. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and we're at Old Trafford, my friend.
Yes,
we had our first opening weekend of the Premier League season here on location. We've had a brilliant, brilliant time. But let's start with the game that we've just witnessed here. Manchester United did find a way to beat Wolverhampton Wanderers 1-0. What did you think of the game?
My takeaway is that the 3 points are the most important thing that Manchester United get from the game in terms of performance, in terms of style of play, of controlling the play. I didn't see a lot of that, Rob, and that was disappointing and wouldn't say alarming, but maybe, you know, there's definitely work to be done. And we started the show when Rebecca asked us about, you know, what Manchester United might have to do to get back to being challenging at the top. And I said, one of the things I talked about, Rob, was there used to be, when back in the day when we came here, there was a fear factor about playing Manchester United. And I felt that the next step for Ten Hag's team is to get that fear factor back to, oh, we're playing Manchester United, we've got to be at our game. Today was another reason when I would look at it and think, people won't fear United based on that performance today. They won the game.
I mean,
to be fair,
their record at Old Trafford, I believe they've unbeaten the last 30 games or something.
Correct.
So it has got better.
Yeah.
But it was just surprising, Rob. Just the level of the performance that we might have expected. Mm. The football, the quick football. They've got new players to give the fans a little bit of a boost. It was just slow. And Wolverhampton Wanderers, of course, deserve a ton of credit for the way that they play. They look fitter. They look stronger. I thought they were first to second balls. And it was just a very below par performance from Manchester United. Mm. One little bit of quality from Bruno Fernandes gets in Wan-Bissaka, who brings the ball back, of course, and they score the winning goal from Rafael Varane and end up winning the game. We quickly have got to talk about the no call on the penalty.
Nana
came out and took out Kolasic, the Wolves striker. We both thought very strongly that should have been a penalty kick. Yeah. Referee on the field said no. VAR said
no. Not clear and obvious error. Yeah.
I mean,
Tim Howard didn't feel that it was as well. He felt from the goalkeeper's point of view, you don't get them given. Maybe if the header is going towards goal, it's possible that maybe you think then. I still think it's a foul by the goalkeeper on attacker in the box, and any foul in the box is a penalty kick. That's how I looked at it, Rob. But I can see maybe why others might see it a little bit different.
And listen, sometimes in the first game of the season, teams haven't found their full form. Mm-hmm. I got to be honest, I don't think Manchester United look fit. And we're going to briefly talk about some other games that we saw. And we saw teams that did look fit, really strong, at it, athletic. Manchester United just looked a little short of what you might expect, given the first game here at Old Trafford against a team that I think we're going to get relegated. But that was such a good performance. We just spoke to Gary O'Neill, who's very pleased with the way his team played, but they end up losing the game.
We've got a special podcast from, as you say, Touchline here at Old Trafford. And I just want to sort of take a view of the weekend, Rob, from since we've come back. It's been brilliant to be at the games, and they started at Burnley on Friday. We finished here at Manchester United on the Monday. Just in terms of the games, Rob, what surprised you most about the games generally, or individual games, or a player that you've seen? What surprised you on this trip?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that stand out to me right now. The atmosphere, God, it was loud, at St. James's Park for Newcastle United. And we know what's going on at that club. We know the progression they've made. We know how they finished. They got Champions League football. We know they got a new player in midfield, Sandro Tonali, that looked excellent. Yeah. Fans love him. Can do a little bit of everything in midfield. He scores after, like, was it 4 or 5 minutes? Yeah. And then the way that they went on in the second half to really overpower Aston Villa. Mm. Alexander Isak looks good. He did last year as well, but he's got the potential to be a really fantastic top striker class, because of the way he can play, his pace, his skill. He took his goals really well. That and Chelsea. You know, maybe we'll get into some of the details, but I thought Chelsea surprised me at how good, how connected they looked, given how young they are, how new they are. and of course against a really fancy team in Liverpool. What were your big surprises?
Well, my surprise was, I'll go with you, with Newcastle and the atmosphere, and many people are probably thinking that Newcastle won't be top four this year, maybe with Champions League. Yeah. Tell you what, they're a fit team, Rob. And you look through this squad, these two players virtually for every position. Eddie Howe's got depth with that group. That group. And I'm going to go to a Liverpool player, Dominic Szoboszlai, who was the name that was bought in, $76 million from Leipzig, Hungarian international. Read a lot about him, didn't know that much about him. Wow, Rob. Seen him in the flesh.
Yeah, close up.
Close up, touch, pace, strength, ability, endurance, lasted the 90 minutes. Yeah,
physicality, tackling.
Loved the intensity of the Premier League. Looks like an absolute diamond that Jurgen Klopp's got there.
Yeah, and just on that midfield, Alexis McAllister is another player that is going to be really, really good for Liverpool. I mean, transfer news, missing out on Moises Caicedo. I understand, it's difficult to get all the news that he might have missed out on Romeo Lavia as well from Southampton.
Incredible.
Also going to Chelsea. Again, I don't think that's confirmed yet, but that's pretty remarkable. But no, they were surprising. Liverpool, you know, a little surprising how they dropped off a little bit
in the second half.
But again, I when we played, mate,
sometimes fitness, isn't it? takes you two or three games.
Yeah, in the first game, you're thinking, what was their pre-season like? How are we going to shape up? And some teams have looked stronger than others.
Talk to me about maybe a couple of things that disappointed you. People, teams, situations that disappointed since we've come back.
I expected a little bit more fight from Burnley, Rob, in that first game when you promoted again, and the fans there, they were waiting, they were desperate to cheer for their team. Mm. Of course, it's a difficult assignment when you play Manchester City. Thought they might have given a little bit more fight. I think Aston Villa's second half, I remember at halftime in that game saying, wow, this is even.
Aston Villa looked really,
really good as well. Their high line was a problem. So that surprised me how they kind of fell apart a little bit in the second half. And I've got to say, this game, Manchester United, is the biggest surprising disappointment, given what I expected here, Rob, with the football and with Ten Hag's improving the squad again. And in the first game of the season here at Old Trafford, I was really surprised. It didn't really get much better in the second half, but they were fortunate to get all 3 points.
Yeah, I have to say Manchester United would be my disappointment. More that they were playing Wolves. We're talking about the next step. It's looking more like a Ten Hag team. You know, I didn't ever feel there was a 5 or 6 minute spell where they were comfortable, where they were in charge, where I thought, oh, now this is domination. And if Wolves had better forwards on the pitch, they might well have won the game.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Can I just chuck at you another surprise?
Yeah.
Maybe it's in your little list of things to talk about, but how about Spurs?
Mm.
How about Spurs without Harry Kane and with their new manager, Ange Postecoglou?
Well, I want to talk Spurs and Chelsea, Rob. Rebuild.
Go on, let's do it.
Rebuild.
Oh,
and starts with Spurs. Ange Postecoglou takes his team to Brentford, plays in a shape and a style, Rob, that is fascinating. Our viewers are going to really enjoy seeing them. On the flip side, there's going to be days that I don't think things are going to go particularly well if they're going to continue to play that way.
Well, I think they are going to continue to play that way. Mm-hmm. Postecoglou, from day one, has said, we want the ball.
Yeah.
I want players that play the ball forward. I want to attack at all times. And I'm thinking, love that. That's so great, and that's so different to what Spurs are used to. And he did it.
Yeah.
And he did it. I mean, he had fullbacks playing like central midfield players.
Absolutely.
So often, you know, that one fullback will come into midfield. We've seen that millions of times from different teams this year. He has both of them, both fullbacks play in the middle of the park. So he leaves two centre-backs.
Both centre-backs, but they're not back, Rob. They're right up there as well.
I know.
It's incredible.
And then the midfield players go into the front line. You've got wingers that are, it's all-out attack. And I got to think it's a calculated gamble. You know what? We are going to get caught sometimes. And we're going to concede some goals, as they did. But I think the thought of possession, we love it. We want to have the ball. It's good for the fans to watch it. I think they're going to be a fun ride.
Maybe more suited to Tottenham players as well than the style we've seen under Jose and Antonio Conte.
Yeah, and why not? Why not play like that?
Let's just touch back on Chelsea again, because I was super impressed with them. Saw them in the Premier League Summer Series. Potential, we keep saying there's a lot of potential there. I think some of that might be brought forward with Pochettino. Rhys James and Ben Chilwell in the wide areas,
really
Rob.
Really
excellent.
Good.
Enzo Fernandez took
really
another level. Nicholas Jackson is going to be a threat in the top areas of the pitch.
Yeah.
And there was one thing that stood back. We were sitting behind the dugouts. We had, you know, privileged seats, so we could see the action. But the other thing that really hit me, Rob, is that Mauricio Pochettino
is a
comfortable, just sat there he's in charge of this football club, Rob. And when he says to the substitutes, go and make a run, they all get up and run. They don't mess about. They don't take the time. Mm. He's a gaffer. They've got a boss now who can take this group forward.
I'll tell you what, that midfield now with Moises Caicedo, Enzo Fernandez, that's stunning, really. And it's got all kind of attributes you need. And maybe Lavra as well, but young, good players at this club. I feel like they're setting themselves up for many seasons of really good play. Wide areas, little concerning, whether it's Mikhail Mudryk, that's shown us flashes. Madueke is another young player. Raheem Sterling, Rob, let's quickly on him.
Yeah.
What? He looked a little out of sorts, out of place.
Not quite. I don't like him on the right-hand side, Rob, because when he comes in field on his left foot, he's not got... No. I like him when he plays on the left, coming in on his right foot.
Dimension.
He can bend things, he can play off a centre-forward, he can give and go with his midfield players. So, tactically, we'll just keep an eye on that, whether he will stay on that right-hand side of the pitch or whether Pochettino sorts to put him on the left.
We've chatted a couple of times about who's got the hardest job in terms of turning these teams around. Yeah. I think I might have flip-flopped a couple of times on him. After watching them, I mean, they both got big jobs on.
Yeah.
And they both seem to be... I'm just thinking Chelsea are ahead in that.
I think Ange Postecoglou's got a slightly harder job than Pochettino.
Yeah, I thought it was the other way around. It was a fair play.
That's where I've gone. Just themes, Rob, for this weekend. And one of my themes is strong managers. Strong management is coming into football. And let me give you a couple of examples. At half-time, Manchester City 2-0 up. Erling Haaland's got two goals. Pep Guardiola steams across the pitch, jumps into him, has a real go at him, and pushes the camera away and has words to say, strong words. Is he doing it for effect? Possibly. But the other thing I would say more importantly is, everybody's looking at Man City. They've won the treble. They've won the Champions League. Is it a little bit of an off-season this season? This manager is going to drive this team to the four straight Premier League titles that gives him a record. Strong management was part of this weekend.
Give us another one.
Jurgen Klopp to Mo Salah, the great goal scorer, 30 goals every season. Mo, off you come. I'm going to put
This is just managers.
I'm going to put Dokon,
a young
18-year-old kid, on you come. Mo Salah taking his things off as he goes pushing. Strong managers, Rob, are in this league now where players have probably a little bit more power. But the gaffer in charge runs the football club.
What about Ange Postecoglou when he brings off a player that's had a nasty, a goal-scoring player, Christian Romero, that scores a goal that looks not quite right, and he wouldn't even have anything. Just
off you come, wouldn't it?
So that's another example.
And after said, the welfare of the player is more important than winning the game.
Brilliant.
You know, it's your first game in charge. So, some strong managers, Rob.
Yeah.
We'll keep a look if that becomes a theme over the course of the season. You want to talk to me a bit about one area of the pitch, don't you, that you feel that maybe people are starting to pay more attention to?
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes each season there's something that I look forward to, whether it's new managers, whether it's new strikers in the league. This pre-season, it's been about midfield players. It's been about central midfield players. Mason Mount, not one of the better kind of Premier League debuts for his new club today. I talked about Sandro Tonali, of course, at Newcastle United. Yeah. Szoboszlai, you talked about. McAllister. Yeah. You know, it's an area that most of the big boys need help. And, and we know that because of the fighting to get Moises Caicedo with two of the giant clubs. So whichever big club you think about right now, the big ones, they've invested in midfield players. And the way that teams are playing now with this kind of two number eights that get forward, that has been the key position for the summer transfer market for some of the big boys. And I thought there was mixed results. Tonali is going to be interesting. Yeah. He's going to be interesting when he really gets to speed. But I think, like you said earlier, Szoboszlai was impressive as well.
So just to wrap up, mate, we our choices were you picked Arsenal to win the title.
Yeah, I think
Manchester City. Still okay day one in. You like what you see?
Yeah, it wasn't great from Arsenal. Arsenal weren't at their best.
Does the goalkeeper situation give you any kind of... Raya's coming in. Some are suggesting that the number one spot might be up for grabs. How might that affect the back?
Well, I think it's one of two ways, Rob. The positive way is that now Aaron Ramsdale is like super at it. And he keeps him on his toes. Mm. And if there's any kind of slackness or complacency in his training or in his games, he's going to be at it. Yeah. The other way it could go is that, oh, hang on a minute. You know, you've brought somebody else in. Could the dressing room be a little bit affected by that competition? I think it's more the former of those 2 points.
Yeah.
But that's something to keep a very close eye on, yeah.
I picked Man City. They went to Burnley. Didn't play brilliantly, but got the job done. Erling Haaland, 2 goals. We know he's a threat. Roger gets another clean sheet. Everything that you would expect is happening there. And I still think they're going to be the team to beat, Rob.
I think there's just so many little things that might go wrong. Can they get a record that's never been done before?
Yeah.
Is this team going to kick on after reaching the promised land with the...
Yeah, no Mahrez, no Gundogan.
They've got a little bit fewer goals off the bench now. Yeah. Is that squad going to be a little bit weaker when it rotates, where they drop more points? I just think that somebody else might nick them, and the best of the rest for me still is Arsenal. So I'm still going for them for the title.
Listen, mate, great weekend as ever.
Oh, I loved it.
Old Trafford, you can rain as much as you want. We're going to still keep coming. We'll be back next weekend for match week 2 when we'll have more of a normal podcast. We'll run through the teams.
We'll have a bit longer
and take a second look at things. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's a good night from him.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.